Today, as we formally close out the season of Christmastide and the great 12 days of celebrating the Nativity, we come to another glorious occasion, which in the Western Rite we know as the Epiphany of our Lord. But it's also within Holy Orthodoxy called the Theophany. And it basically means the same thing, the appearing, Christ's appearing, the manifestation of God himself, Yahweh, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the Messiah who has finally come. And of course, we know that within the Eastern Rite, this is primarily celebrated, this occasion is primarily celebrated in terms of Christ's baptism. And of course, this morning, in the blessing of the waters of Epiphany, it basically, we use a baptismal rite. So it's not lost on the West. There is in fact a very integral connection between Christ's appearing and baptism. For it is through the waters of baptism, which were sanctified by Christ himself, that we ourselves are adopted in to the family of faith by way of baptism, by way of recognizing Christ's appearing. And in fact, we as people who are Gentiles really partially fulfill, we are the fulfillment of all that God had promised in his appearing. But in Christ's appearing, darkness, the darkness of souls, oftentimes mask the reality of what was happening. In the West, we celebrate this primarily at the Epiphany in the coming of the Magi. The Magi, the wise men from the East. And we see this in the creche, in the manger scenes. The Magi coming, and although we know from Scripture and from church tradition that they didn't actually visit the place where Christ was born, but rather from the gospel lesson in St. Matthew chapter 2 that I read this morning, we know that the Holy Family this was some time later, and that they had settled down into a house there in the Bethlehem area. But it is in this manifestation of Christ's appearing that the Magi represent the fulfillment of God's promises, of what God was saying. Even though God had called Israel to be a people set apart unto himself, he did so not in an exclusive way. Israel, the sons of Jacob, you're the only ones who are saved. No, rather, he called them to be the priests to nations, to help manifest God's eternal glory in them so that all nations might come to the salvation of God. This is what it means to be priests to nations. And in Israel's failure, God's promises would not be thwarted. As I preached on last Sunday, His promises are sure and certain and secure. But these wise men represent really, they are successors to an Eastern sage type of religion, shall we call it. These were scholars probably from the nation of Persia, from the region of Persia, and they represent really successors to another person from the Old Testament, the prophet Balaam. Do you remember the prophet Balaam? Now, even though Balaam got a bad rap and is reviled both by the Jews that to this day, and also Balaam really is reviled also as an example of that which we should not do, even in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation in particular, Balaam is ultimately really kind of renounced as a as a bad guy. Although God used this Gentile man, this Gentile, to proclaim the glory of God in Israel. And if we go, and I want to just take a moment, because we don't spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. And I think it's important whenever we can see and connect the dots of prophecy and understand how these things come together. And if you remember Balaam, and this is going back to Numbers chapter 23. Balaam was, when Balaam first appears, he's a son of Beor. And we know that the Moabite king, Balak, he's just been defeated by the Israelites. And knowing that Balaam is a prophet, he is a seer, a priest of sorts, if you will, within the pagan world of Moab, Balak goes to him and wants Balaam to curse the Israelites, to pronounce curses upon them for the defeat. But God comes to Balaam, the God of Israel, speaks to Balaam, and he said, "You shall not go with them, but you shall not curse them, but bless them." But as it turns out, in the course of events, when he shares this with Balak, he ends up saddling his donkey and begins to set out against the word of God. And if you remember from this story of Balaam, he's going down a narrow path where there's between a vineyards, where there's a wall on one side and a wall on the other, and the donkey would not go any farther. The donkey would not go any farther because the angel, scripture tells us in Numbers chapter 3, that the angel of the Lord, stood in the way of the donkey. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord, by the way, is a pre-incarnate theophany of Jesus Christ. Jesus stands in the path of this donkey. The donkey, created by God in Christ, perceives who he is. And he would not go any farther. Balaam, whose heart was darkened, didn't see, and he began to beat the donkey. And he began to beat the donkey. And if you remember, after the third time of beating the donkey, this is in Numbers chapter, this is actually Numbers chapter 22. He said, beginning in verse 29, "Balaam then said to the donkey, 'Because you abuse me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you.' So the donkey said to Balaam," the donkey began to speak the word of God, "'Am I not your donkey on which you rode from your youth to this very day? Did I ever show such utter disregard for you?' He replied, 'No.' Then God opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed and worshiped. Then the angel of God then said to him, 'Why did you strike your donkey a third time? Behold, I came out as your adversary, because your way was not acceptable before me. So when the donkey saw me, she turned aside from me this third time. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live.' Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, 'I sinned, for I did not know you met me as an adversary on the road. Now therefore, if my way is not acceptable to you, I will turn back.' The angel of God then said to Balaam, 'Go with the man, but only the word I may speak to you, this you must be careful to speak.' So Balaam went with the rulers of Balak." Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, perceived by this donkey, used the donkey to prevent the wrath of God, the judgment of Christ from smiting this man whose eyes were darkened. But God in his grace opened his eyes. He opened his eyes, and in this particular case, he opened his heart. And Balaam, a Gentile, a pagan, began to prophesy. A total of four prophecies that he began to proclaim. Not only did he not curse Israel, but he began to bless Israel under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is in Numbers chapter 24. But this really is these prophecies that he gives really become prophecies which we are tied together with what we celebrate today. And looking at chapter 24, beginning in verse 16, the one who hears the sayings of God declares, and the one who knows the knowledge of the Most High, and who saw the vision of God in a dream and a revelation seen by him, I will show him, and not now, I will bless him, but he is not near. A star shall rise out of Jacob, and a man shall rise out of Israel. He shall break in pieces the rulers of Moab and plunder all the sons of Seth. Edom shall be his inheritance, and also his enemy shall be his inheritance. But Israel acts with strength. He shall rise out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. Balaam, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, begins to prophesy about the God-man, the Christ, who will rise up out of Jacob. This also is tied in, and the star that the wise men, the Magi, follow is also seen as a fulfillment, not only of Balaam's prophecy, but also of Psalm 110. Psalm 110, in verse 3, it says, with you is the beginning and the day of your power and the brightness of your saints. I have begotten you from the womb before the morning star. Where's the morning star? In the east. The morning star of the east, the brightest of all stars. And God used this astronomical event, and not only fulfilling literally the prophets of the Old Testament, but as a way of signaling to these sages of the east, of Persia, that a king had been born in Israel, and they were to bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Even as Herod, an evil king, ruling over the people of Israel, whose heart was darkened, and hearing the word of these magi, it says that Herod and all Jerusalem with him were troubled at this saying. For the announcement of a king was troubling. For was this a fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah? Was this a coming of judgment for a people whose hearts were darkened and turned away? Christ appearing, his theophany is something that we celebrate. For not only are we active participants in the fulfillment of prophecies as Gentiles who have come to the light of his glory, but we do so in knowing that Christ, the King of all nations, not just Israel, has come to save and to redeem. And just like Balaam, just like all of us who from time to time in our own darkness of heart, our own weakness of faith, We need those moments of epiphany. Even as faithful Orthodox Christians, I venture to say, and I can testify there are times in my journey where it just seems to be a dark night of the soul, where the struggles of this life may seem to overshadow the glory of God that is manifest in the reality of His church, Christ's glory, in the mysteries of the faith. We may just seem to be going through the motions, but just like I was just talking with somebody the other day about, you know, many of us maybe made New Year's resolutions to go to the gym, to get in better shape. And I don't know about you, but I hate working out. I hate working out, but just showing up at the gym, one of my old coworkers said, gives you points. Just showing up gives you points. There's a grace in Christ appearing. There's a grace in just showing up to Mass, even when you don't feel like it. There's a grace in just saying your prayers, even though it may be perfunctory. There's a grace in living out our faith, even if we don't see all the dots that connect, how this has anything to do with that out there that I'm dealing with. But today I declare to you, in Christ's appearing, the epiphany of our Lord will bring about, if only we allow it, if only we allow the Holy Spirit to remove the scales from our eyes and from our hearts, the darkness from our soul, that the light and glory of God will continue to manifest and shine in a life that is redeemed, a life, a new creation, a life illumined by the light of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord of the Gentiles, Lord of all nations. For we celebrate today His appearing, His coming. Let us give thanks in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.